KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Hello, KBOO listeners. Welcome to another segment of News In Depth, which includes pieces that focus on local, national, or international issues that reflect KBOO's values of peace, justice, democracy, human rights, multiculturalism, environmentalism, freedom of expression, or social change. My name is Jesse Damon, and I am joined in the studio today by two guests. First is Christine Dupree, a writer, teacher, and citizen of the Cowlitz Tribe. Second, I have Kathleen Holt, Associate Director and Editor of Oregon Humanities, which is the independent nonprofit affiliate of the National Endowment of the Humanities. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Hey there.
Hi. Today, we're here to discuss a new online multimedia project created by Oregon Humanities titled This Land. And Kathleen, could you give our listeners a little information about the project?
Sure. As you said, it's an online multimedia project, so it lives on a website attached to Oregon Humanities' website. And what it really is a project that tries to explore connections between race, power, place, land, home, and belonging. And in a state like Oregon, these are very live issues and questions that many of us are grappling with every day. In our past experience in trying to convene conversations around race, power, and place, we realized that there were just so few stories told by Oregon artists of color. This is a place where filmmakers, photographers, and writers and sound artists and data illustrators can all come together to really explore what have been the policy and historical connections that create the conditions that we see in our state today. So when folks are wondering why gentrification has happened in particular communities and affected particular populations, or why home ownership levels for particular groups are so low, we can actually point back to exclusionary practices, policies that have created those inequities that now we see today. That's kind of boring, frankly, to just talk about policy. But what isn't boring is to hear artists whose communities have been affected by these policies tell those stories in beautiful, poignant, sometimes quite heartbreaking ways.
Why did Oregon Humanities choose to make it a multimedia project rather than a one format, rather than just having filmmakers or writers or illustrators just contribute?
One of the things our organization has been pretty good at doing for many years is collecting stories in our magazine that are written, so essays. There's certainly power to those stories. When we started working with filmmakers about 3 or 4 years ago, we started seeing a really different relationship that we were having with people who participated in our programs. For one, the print form in a magazine has limited distribution, online, much wider distribution. But then when you think about how people share information and stories, it's often a kind of a combination. Very often it's film and it's sound pieces, so podcasts. So we had some pretty good success with a film that we produced with Ifani Bell a few years back called Future Portland, which really looked at the effects of gentrification in North Portland on the Black community there. The response to that was kind of amazing. It was a national response. A lot of Washington Post picked it up. The Atlantic picked it up. And it just seemed to help bring a conversation together that had been having that had been happening in small ways. And it also did so, because it was visual, in an emotional way. And the voices that you were able to hear and the faces you were able to see really made you realize the people who were affected. I think that made us realize the power of the visual image. Mm. And so we expanded it into that realm.
Amazing. And so what does Oregon Humanities hope to achieve by this project?
There's a couple of things. I mean, we're pretty committed to ensuring that all kinds of voices are present in all of our works. And that is in our public programs as well as in our publications. And we don't think there are that many platforms, frankly, that offer that. There's also, going back to kind of the more boring policy side, there's also a way that we felt that there are systems of inequity that exist. They seem invisible. They may be invisible to most people who don't have to deal with them every day. But what we felt that this project could do is sort of show at least the outlines of that system and really kind of tie back to some of the policies. The idea was we wanted it to be more hopeful, because even though the system seems really big and impossible to budge, these policies and legislation, they were put in place by people. And so that means they can be changed by people. And we really wanted to offer a place to see that bigger picture and to offer those voices to the community.
And speaking of policy and reaching the community, Christine, you and I were able to work on a project together and collaborate, and we created a contribution that we titled Earth on Fire. And why don't you give a little brief on what our project looked like and how we were able to contribute to the This Land project?
Well, I want to start out by thanking you, Jesse, Juan, and Kathleen, because one of the things that got to happen is we were able to meet in this project. You're a sound artist, I'm a writer, and our project looked at fire in 2015, mega fire in 2015 in Oregon. It began to refine itself as I thought about the Warm Springs tribe, its firefighting efforts, policies of fire suppression, and what that means to sacred foods like the huckleberry, right? And from there, I would say it was a process of discovery with you. We met Yolanda Yollop, a young woman who's a firefighter at Warm Springs, and began to put together both a narrative of how the policy of fire suppression has impacted the land, in this case, Warm Springs on the dry side, and what tribes who have long been advocates for the land are doing, right, to renew sacred foods, to protect the land, to fight fires. And I'm going to hand it to you, because it's easy enough to write about those things or to interview someone. And Yolanda was a fascinating young woman from Warm Springs, from a whole family of firefighters. Her mother, I think maybe her grandmother, though I'd have to double check, and then her sister all fight fires at Warm Springs. And Yolanda happened to be in Portland at the time. But I wonder, kind of passing this back to you, how did you start to think about sound as being able to embed itself in this project?
Oh, so I guess with learning about the impact that the megafires had in 2015 brought to mind visually what that would look like. Just hearing your descriptions, Christine, about the horses, the wild horses just running frantic, the brush just being engulfed in flames, the wind, the overpowering wind, and the sense that there weren't enough people to contain it. And so it just became so overwhelming and became this mega fire. And throughout this process, I learned that there were actual policies in place that tribes grew through tradition to actually maintain some of the underbrush, to maintain the actual landscape of their land, to control these fires so that they did not become these mega fires.
Right. Tribes have in the area have right. burnt, right? So that the huckleberries could emerge, so that there was Correct. A reliable harvest.
Yeah. And so that was fascinating for me to draw into that emotion, but to create an audible experience so people can understand a little bit more about what the native peoples were experiencing from their perspective, and to actually bring to light the actual importance of some of these fire policies and how it actually can preserve some of the natural resources that these tribes rely upon. Mm-hmm. And so that was something for me, just learning about the history and the importance of all of the landscape and the importance of actual land, you know, that's their home. And so seeing that, knowing that if it was my home, I would also feel that sense of wanting to protect it as much as possible. And so trying to create that space in an audible setting was a big challenge for me, but it was also a learning experience that I definitely enjoyed going through, and to speak with you, Christine, and to learn about Yolanda's story, but also incorporating a local musician, a singer-songwriter named Kelly Bosworth, who just is a beautiful guitar player, and be able to incorporate sound effects and music and things like that to tell the story of these mega fires was just a really amazing experience for me. And so I want to play just a short little clip that you can hear from our piece, Earth on Fire, and then we'll come back and talk about more about the project for This Land.
To watch the mountain burn, in fact, a whole bunch of dry-side Pacific Northwest Indian country burn, and know that there were not enough souls around to stop it, to hear about the horses running frantic and wild, hear the coyotes howling at every hour, the owls talking to each other, and to feel the suffering, to breathe it in and phlegm it out, it was too much.
Right, so that was a clip from the piece that Christina and I contributed for the This Land project. Our piece was titled Earth on Fire. And Kathleen, where can our listeners go to actually hear the project and watch the films that were created for This Land?
So it's at our website. So it's OregonHumanities.org. And This Land is one of the pull-down options. You can also search for it on the site. And right now we have four stories posted. We have some films, that audio piece, and some essays.
Wonderful. And if listeners want to get involved in Oregon Humanities or just find out more information of other events that you're putting on, where can they go? Or do you have any upcoming events that they can join?
Yeah, the website's a good source for that. We have a calendar, and you can sort by the county that you live in. But coming up, one thing that we did with This Land was we layered it on top of a public program that we do in the Portland area called Think and Drink. And we used, in two cases, we'll do it ultimately in three cases, a film to start the conversation on stage. And so on May 17th, at the Alberta Rose, we're going to be premiering another film about East Portland, and we're going to be having a conversation about sort of creative and innovative ways to deal with wealth and land inequity.
Wonderful. And just one final thought I want to get from both of you, just how you felt the project came together as a whole. I know for me, it was amazing learning experience just to hear about the different communities of color that made Oregon what it is today and the history behind it that a lot of people did not know about. And so bringing to light some of those historical moments was really impactful for me, knowing that I'm not a native Oregonian, but I learned so much from these people and from these stories. And so I hope with the This Land project that more listeners and more people can be more aware and more up to date on where Oregon came from, you know, the history behind it. And so I was just curious for each of you ladies what you felt just overall about the project.
Well, I love that there was an experience available to artists of color to cooperate and then to float and emerge narratives that get suppressed historically. Both those things are so exciting to me. And I think that's it. There's lots more, but I'm going to stop there.
Yeah, I myself am a person of color, and I identify as a writer as well. For me, it's been really comforting to work collaboratively with so many artists across the state on this project and to feel that passion and energy and that desire to work on something beautiful and put it out into the world, even when it comes from something that's quite painful. And it's also been an incredible learning experience for me as well, to learn that collaboration is very difficult and that artists work very, very hard to get their voice just right. So these are all things that have been really wonderful for me And watching everything start to fill the site, it is really doing that interconnectedness that we had hoped it would do.
Great. Well, Christine Dupree, writer, teacher, and citizen of the Cowlitz Tribe, and Kathleen Holt, associate director and editor of Oregon Humanities, thank you both for joining me in the studio today.
Thanks.
Thank you.
And this has been Jesse Damon for KBOO News In Depth.